I'm Tracy Oppenheimer for Reason TV, and I'm here with Joe Sorge. He is the director of a new documentary called Divorce Corp and also the co-author of an accompanying book. Joe, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So your documentary starts out with the notion that marriage is a fairly simple process, at least in the legal sense, but divorce is nowhere near that simple. Can you talk about the business of divorce and why it's so complicated?
To get divorced, you can't simply fill out a form that says, I'm divorced. You have to go to court, and a judge has to approve the divorce. And, you know, breaking up is traumatic on its own, never mind having to go to court and appear before a judge and trying to learn enough about the law if you can't afford to pay a lawyer to do it properly. And if you can't afford to pay a lawyer, well, then they often take most of your money. It's the fourth most common cause of bankruptcy in the United States.
It's not surprising that the average contested divorce in the U.S. costs $50,000. In the last 40 years, the number of divorce lawyers has exploded, increasing over 2,000% in California alone. And this is a nationwide issue. No matter what state you live in, you're going to get pulled in.
Talk about how family court is different from other types of court.
Well, family courts are called courts of equity, not courts of law. And typically an equitable matter is something that can't be quantified in dollars, and so there's usually a non-dollar solution to an equitable issue. Marriage used to be a covenant for life, and if someone broke that covenant, it was difficult to come up with a dollar amount that would satisfy that breaking of a covenant. And so what happened is they would have a judge come up with, well, what is a fair solution to this situation where maybe both people were working, but maybe one person was not working and the other one was? How can we come up with something that works for both of those people? And if you have a really nice judge and a friendly courtroom and very simple laws, that's not such a bad idea. But what we have today is 2,000 pages of family code, ridiculously complex, written half in Latin.
So what is the average cost of divorce these days?
So the average cost of a non-contested divorce would be between $10,000 and $20,000 typically. And for a contested divorce, it's $50,000 plus. And, you know, there's some divorces that cost $20 million.
You said there's 2,000 pages of this legislation regarding divorces. Can you talk about when that came to be?
The transition occurred primarily in the 1970s and 1980s. Prior to 1969, we had what was called the fault divorce system. You had to prove that your spouse did something wrong, like adultery or abandonment or brutality, in order to get a divorce. In 1969, Governor Ronald Reagan in California signed the first no-fault divorce law in the United States, and most of the other states quickly followed, where you could file for divorce unilaterally, but you just couldn't finish the process without a judge. And so what happened is that because there was this big rush to get divorced, and frankly, primarily by women who were caught in bad marriages prior to no-fault, they suddenly wanted to go through this process, but they found that the laws had been written to address the old patriarchal system where the man was the king of the castle. And so many of the laws that pertain to the patriarchal system no longer pertain to the women's lib movement and women having independence. And so the legislatures, under the lobbying from the National Organization of Women and other groups that advocated, I think, very favorable changes to the legislation, logical and good-spirited changes to the legislation, kept writing in all these new laws to put in these new protections. But as in many cases, the law of unintended consequences set in. And so a lot of these laws that were written in the 60s, 70s, and 80s were a good idea at the time, no longer necessary, and create much of the confusion and animosity that we see today in family court.
On that point, with alimony payments and child support, they cause a lot of the complications. So you think we should get rid of alimony, or what's your take on
that? So I personally believe that we should eliminate alimony from the statutes, but it should be subject to a private agreement. If it's only appropriate in less than 20% of households today, that shouldn't be something that's done routinely as part of a divorce. It should only be done if the couple has agreed that this is the kind of relationship we're going to have, and therefore there should be alimony. We should look to other countries that do things where men and women are equal or treated equally or more equally.
And yeah, so you point to Scandinavia.
We looked at how they handle divorce there, and they do have alimony, but only for 6 months. And once the divorce is finalized, then there's no alimony unless they've entered into a private agreement to provide for alimony.
A big topic that you spend a lot of time on in the documentary is these problems with the lawyers and these outrageous legal fees. But if people are willing to pay them, I mean, that's their choice. What's wrong with that?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. I think it's an oligopoly. You say, well, it's a free market. Lawyers can charge whatever they want to charge. However, they've made the laws so complex that you pretty much have to hire these specialty lawyers that are divorce lawyers. There are only a certain number of them, and that drives up their hourly rate.
And it's complicated because the judges have special relationships with a lot of these lawyers.
And unlike other public officials, judges do not have a waiting period between public and private practice. A judge can retire one day, practice as an attorney the next day, and then go back to being a pro tem judge a day later.
Judges will oftentimes try to get very cozy with the law firms that they want to work for upon retirement as a judge. And so it creates a conflict of interest. The other conflicts of interest is lawyers are allowed to contribute to the election campaigns of judges, appear before them in court, and yet give them money toward their election campaigns. And so I'm afraid what that does is it can allow certain law firms to buy influence with the judge. Or if it's not direct campaign contributions, it could be things like appointing the judge to some committee that's a prestigious committee, or throwing a fundraiser for the judge.
So there's no oversight or accountability?
I wouldn't say there's no oversight. There are judicial review committees. But as we point out in the film, they rarely discipline a judge. It's extremely rare. And those review committees are made up of judges and lawyers.
Could you talk about how we could get the government out of divorce, if that's even a possibility?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think, again, I keep looking to Scandinavia. To get divorced in Scandinavia, you file a form with the government. And if you have children, then you have to wait 6 months for a possible reconciliation. If there's no reconciliation, then you're divorced. It seems to work there. They don't have to go to court. They don't have to ask for a judge's approval. They don't have to have lawyers reading the 2,000-page code. They divide their assets much like we have our community property laws will divide assets in the United States. So if they went into the marriage with separate property, they walk out with that separate property if it hasn't been commingled. But if they've invested together, if they've worked together, if they contributed to a joint account, if they bought a house together, then that's all split 50-50, right down the middle. Simple split, and they go to an accountant to figure that out. You don't need a lawyer to figure that out. Lawyers are not as good at math as accountants are anyway.
Joe, thanks again for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
For Reason TV, I'm Tracy Oppenheimer.